First of all, I want to apologize to you. We said that this would start at 1 o'clock. Our session on the floor lasted until about 1:15, and that's why we're late getting started. I like to do things on time, but I do apologize to you. I think all of you know what we're here for, the two bills that have to do with Social Security numbers and driver's licenses. I guess Jim Ludwig, do you want to come up?
Thank you, Chairman Gilman. For the record, my name is Jim Ludwig. I'm president of Oregonians for Immigration Reform. 41 states currently send all the driver's license Social Security numbers to the Social Security Administration for verification. Oregon is only one of nine states that do not. At the last session, Representative Thatcher raised the issue of Nevada not accepting Oregon driver's licenses anymore as proof of ID from somebody moving from Oregon into Nevada. And as I checked on their website, they have a list of states that they refuse to acknowledge their driver's license from. Unless we change our driver's license procedures of identity, Oregon residents are going to continue to see their rights as Oregon drivers eroded around the United States. House Bill 2947 would do two primary things. First of all, it would require the Oregon Department of Transportation to enter into a memorandum of agreement with the Social Security Administration for verification of Social Security numbers. Second, it would bring Oregon in line with the Real ID Act, which passed the U.S. House of Representatives. And as you're aware, this Real ID Act requires states to prove citizenship or legal status in order to issue a driver's license. And the bill passed by a 261 to 161 margin. I'm going to talk real briefly about New York because I mentioned this in the hearing on 2608. But Raymond Martinez, the director of the New York State Department of Transportation, by administrative rule, brought New York State into the online verification system. And when they sent all their existing driver's licenses back to the Social Security Administration for verification, they turned up 500,000 incorrect numbers. They then sent notices to those 500,000 people telling them they had to change their contact the Social Security Administration to bring their numbers in line. They eventually whittled it down to 250,000, and those 250,000 people are starting to see their driver's licenses repealed by the state of New York. But it really begs the question, how many driver's licenses in Oregon do people have multiple ones of? In Martinez stated, in New York, they had over 500 New York taxicab drivers who had at least three driver's licenses. Obviously, the reason they wanted them was if they got a conviction for drunken driving or too many accidents or tickets, they could always keep a clean driver's license and continue to drive. I'd like to refer you to page one of the packet that I passed out. There are two main components of the verification system. The American Association of Motor Vehicle Administration online verification system through the Social Security Administration. That is the program that states use for all new driver's license applicants. And the program runs like this. A person goes up to the counter at ODOT, presents a valid Social Security number. Within seconds, it's either confirmed as a valid number or not. That costs the state 3 cents a transaction. As an example, if Oregon did $30,000 in a year, it would cost them only $900. The second portion of the program is the online batch certification system. The batch certification system is a system that states use to send all their current driver's licenses back to the Social Security Administration for verification. That costs a quarter of a penny for every transaction. Now, Idaho had about 1 million driver's licenses in 1997 when they did this. It cost them $1,400 as a one-time cost to initiate that program. If you look on page two, you'll see these figures and the contact people with the Idaho Department of Transportation. Please refer to page three. This is a letter from Amy Smith, who was the supervisor of driver services for Idaho in 1997 when they implemented this system. If you look under implementation costs, you'll see 50 man-hours at a cost of $1,473. That was the total cost for Idaho to implement this program. the training, the computer work, $1,473. If you add that $1,473 to the $1,400 they spent on verifying all existing driver's license, Social Security numbers, for around $2,800, that was their one-time fee. From now on, it'll cost Idaho less than $500 a year to verify all new Social Security numbers. I urge you to read the rest of Amy Smith's letter. She closes by writing, "We agreed to be a contact for other states. We'd absolutely recommend other states implement this system." At this point, if you would let me, I'd like to comment on some of the issues that were raised in the previous two hearings on House Bill 2608 and last session. At the hearing on House Bill 2608, Robin Friedman from the Department of Transportation said that if ODOT was required to implement a program proving citizenship or legal status, it would be costly and time-consuming for that agency. House Bill 2947 is neither. As I showed you, it costs Idaho $2,800 to implement the program. Even if you tripled the cost, and Oregon has about three times as many drivers as Idaho, even if you tripled it, it would still only be $8,400, a one-time cost to implement the program and check all existing driver's licenses. As to the allegation of being time-consuming, I'd like you to refer to Amy Smith's letter again under evaluation on page 2. She says the response time is 15 to 30 seconds to check a Social Security number. House Bill 2947 is neither time-consuming nor is it costly. The testimony of ODOT Director Lorna Young at the last hearing was mind-boggling to me. The thought that as a state agency they could enter into an agreement with a foreign country to provide access to our driver's license using a foreign document is beyond the pale as far as I'm concerned. I called her and talked to her last year and asked her why Oregon didn't enter into the online Social Security verification system. And she told me because they didn't need to, because they can verify the documents they have already. And think of this. She's saying they can verify documents from Mexico, but they don't need to verify our Social Security numbers. It doesn't make any sense to me. Two people testified that depriving illegal aliens of driver's license will increase the number of uninsured drivers. In a document published by the Oregon Department of Transportation dated November 22, 2004, and I was provided this by Representative Thatcher, who gave me this document, it says, and I quote directly from the document, "The Insurance Information Institute and Insurance Council The Legal Information Institute and Insurance Council do identify legal presence as a major contributing factor for states' uninsured rate, but rank it the cost of premiums and economic factors higher." You've heard testimony from policemen stating that people, they pull them over, and even if they have a driver's license, they don't have insurance. Representative Hunt asked a number of people at a previous hearing as to whether they brought proof of citizenship with them, and I assume he did it to show it's not typical, and most people wouldn't have that. Under House Bill 2947, 96% of the driver's license applicants won't need anything other than a valid Social Security number. In Idaho, they only had a 4% disqualification. So 96% of the people who would go to Idaho or go to Oregon Department of Transportation, if you pass this bill, would only need a valid Social Security number and the present documentation that's required of them right now. So it would not be an onerous task. The representative of the ACLU stated at the same hearing that only four of the 9/11 terrorists were illegal aliens, and that under House Bill 2608, they'd still be able to get a driver's license and use it as documentation in order to board planes in the United States. Under House Bill 2947, that would not be the case. Many of the Islamic terrorists were here on expired visas. Their visas were good for 6 months, but their driver's licenses were good for 8 years, and they used those driver's licenses to board planes. Under House Bill 2947, the driver's license issued to a temporary resident expires on the date their legal residency expires. In other words, they wouldn't be able to use board planes using Oregon driver's license if their visas had expired. Please turn to page 4. Lynn Roge is a current driver's license program supervisor for the Idaho Department of Transportation, and she said, and I quote, "Since identity theft has become the number one crime in the United States, verifying a Social Security number is considered an important fraud prevention measure. Without that verification process, it is much easier for people to use multiple identities and be issued multiple driver's licenses to avoid penalties associated with a bad driving record, as well as use a license for other fraudulent activities. The driver's license is the number one form of identification in the United States. And she thinks this program is necessary, as do most other states. In summary, I urge you to pass House Bill 2947 with the following requirements. It's important that you require ODOT to enter into a memorandum of agreement with the Social Security Administration to verify all new and existing Social Security numbers as proof of who the people are who they say they are. Second, all existing driving license holders with incorrect Social Security numbers should be notified that when they come in to renew their license or make any other changes, they will need to correct their record with the Social Security Administration before they can receive a driver's license. That's what Idaho does. It spaces out the reporting over the time frame of when the driver's license expires. And finally, all existing driver's license holders who did not submit a Social Security card should have only 1 year to come into ODOT office with a new acceptable form of identification. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Jim? Thank you. Pedro Souza and Ann Perry.
Always Perry.
You pronounce it correctly, and then at least the record will have it right.
Right.
Don't depend on me.
Thank you very much. My name is Pedro Souza. I am an immigrant, a refugee of the political violence in my country. I'm currently in the process of regularizing my immigration status. Today, I want to share with you my experience on the importance of having safe streets and highways in Oregon. About a year ago, I had a traffic accident. I was rear-ended by a car. To my surprise, this person did not have any insurance, although this person was a citizen born in this country. And I was a bit worried about what would happen. Fortunately, it wasn't a serious accident and neither of us needed medical attention. But what if we had? Because of this experience, I'm here to urge you to oppose HB 2611 and HB 2947. These bills will affect everyone safely on the roads, because denying people the ability to learn, understand, practice, and be tested on Oregon driving laws makes no one safer. Having people on the road that are not qualified and licensed means we are risking lives. We are talking about human lives, yours and mine. Additionally, insurance companies will lose many clients because they cannot sell insurance to those who are not licensed to drive. You have in your hands your safety, my safety, and the safety of all Oregonians. There is no reason to risk our lives and our family lives on the streets and highways of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ann, and then we'll ask questions to both of you.
Okay. For the record, my name is Alice Perry, and I'm here on behalf of the American Friends Service Committee. And I'm sorry I didn't bring written testimony because I got short notice of today's hearing. The American Friends Service Committee is an 88-year-old Quaker organization whose essential mission is to work for peace and justice. We are here today concerned about these two bills because of the reason Mr. Souza stated, the public safety of Oregon, and because driver's license and the Department of Motor Vehicles is not the U.S. Immigration Service. We have a branch of the government that is obligated and empowered to do that job. Immigration laws are extremely complex and changing daily. When immigration laws change, it takes the Immigration Department itself a long time to adapt administrative rules because of the complexity of those laws. In addition, now that the INS has become the Department of Homeland Security, the departments have split up, and they are even having trouble coordinating with themselves because of the complexity of the issues. Previous speaker mentioned the Real ID Act, and while I realize that it's a separate act, it did pass very quickly through the House and through a process that was not a normal process. We feel that it is important to deliberate very carefully on the nature of these types of bills. As very early in our history and throughout our history, anti-immigrant legislation has been passed, starting early as in the 1700s with the Alien and Sedition Act. And the danger is, with some of these acts, that they get used against our own citizens as well. The Alien Sedition Act was eventually overturned because the political parties started using it against each other rather than the supposed terrorists and immigrants that it was passed to prevent. Identity is a human right. To strip people of their identity based on their immigration status is wrong. The Department of Motor Vehicles needs to make sure that our drivers are safe, licensed, and insured so that our streets and highways are safe. The reality is that there is a large immigration population here. That's not going to go away overnight. Until we enact laws, comprehensive immigration laws that deal with the issue. There are many, many factors that influence immigration, both documented and undocumented. Wars, poverty, and it'd be easy to have a magic bullet to fix all of that at once. This is not that magic bullet. On behalf of the American Friends Service Committee, and as a citizen of Oregon, who wants to drive on the streets safely, I urge you not to pass these bills.
Thank you.
Questions?
Question, Mr.
I have a question.
Yes.
How would you feel if there was drivers driving only card for people that can't verify their Social Security number or prove that they're here legally?
Well, I understand that that is a reality in the state of Tennessee. That similar type of law has been passed like that in Tennessee. The difficulty is that it then puts policemen often in the position of then becoming immigration officers. And in some states, not all, there is a they've entered into agreements with the Department of Homeland Security. But our concern is, in those states where that hasn't happened, it really increases the possibility of racism. And the thing is, many times people are in the process of adjusting their status. And as I think other people have testified before, it can take up to 10 years to adjust your status. So we're concerned that there would be racist backlash if such a law was passed.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm interested if you could maybe tell us a little bit about what the immigration process has been like. I think you mentioned that you're in the stages of seeking, I'm not sure if it's citizenship or green card or what the status is, but talk about, give us a sense of the severity of that process.
Okay, like what I mentioned before, I came to the United States because the political violence in my country, and now it's in process, my regularizing. It's seeking for political asylum.
If I could follow up, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
Have you been given an estimate of how long, how many months, or how many how long it will take to actually get that status?
I don't know yet. It's in process. I don't know. I know the laws, it's changed, and now the USCIS, or the immigration, before it changed it, it's separate, and now it's different, and I don't know how much time it's going to take it, but in the past it was so long, like about 10 or more years.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stokes, can I ask what country you're seeking political asylum from?
I'm born in Guatemala.
Born in Guatemala, okay.
Yeah.
And may I follow? Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to follow on Representative Hunt's question, you're in the process of seeking political asylum status at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. Follow? Have you been given any sort of, and maybe this is sort of what Representative Hunt was getting at, any sort of temporary sort of immigration status while the political asylum process carries itself out?
Yes.
You have? You've been given? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's I have, but it's short. It's not.
Okay. Can I follow? Can I ask why, given the political, which I understand through history, the political violence and the rocky nature of your native country, why you chose the United States to go to for political asylum?
Because I believe on the liberty and the freedom of this country.
Mr. Chairman, and I say amen to that, and part of what fortresses, if you will, build that liberty and freedom is our rule of law. We're a nation of laws, and I think what we're getting at here is trying to form sort of that rule of law and that consistency of law that perhaps that we fortunately have in the United States, and too many other countries, unfortunately, Guatemala is an example, don't have. We're trying to maintain an order and maintain a balance of law and appropriate standing so that we can all have faith in our government and our laws and have faith in the documents that are issued by our government law. So I just wanted to make that comment, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much. Ruth Bendel and Sharon Cornish. Just Ruth today.
Good afternoon. My name is Ruth Bendel, 10980 Southwest Muirwood Drive, Portland 97225. Thank you for taking me as quickly as you could. I am submitting testimony as well. I would like to seek your support for House Bill 2947. And in particular, I do want proof of citizenship to be one of the required documents. I think it's a basic necessity. And I would like to echo what Representative Brune said in terms of any laxity of laws. If this country is known for having law, being a system of laws and to keep order as well, to be lax and make excuses for one element of the community not complying with the laws, what does that say to our youngsters growing up, how we regard our laws, whether it's with driver's licenses, whether it's with any other aspect registering to vote? I would also like to say that seeing as the driver's license is going to be the document of choice as far as proof of ID and hopefully proof of citizenship when the Real ID Act passes in the U.S. Senate, I would like to have that driver's license, not just that person presents the proof of ID, but that driver's license actually indicate the legal status of its holder, so that when the person goes to register to vote, if they produce a driver's license that just says legal resident, obviously they cannot register to vote. If they produce a driver's license that's got USC stamped on it, United States citizen, then they've provided the proof of who they are. And we would hope that they'll only do that when they are 18 years of age. But I'd like to see it stamped on. It's not a costly process. It could be a type of a notary stamp, and then that's their identification, and they could should also be able to do that at the Department of at the DMVs. And quite honestly, I would like to see everything pertaining to proof of citizenship, whether it's pertaining to the driver's license or to the registration to vote, be under the Department of Transportation. You're anyway, they're dealing with everything pertaining to driver's licenses, and they're also issuing the voter registration cards. I'd just as soon see them handle the whole process right there and have the $18 million that the federal government are going to give for dealing with the centralized voter registration system just go to the Department of Transportation, remove it from the election officials who seem to be so reluctant to do anything in the way of proof of identification. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruth. Questions? No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Van, I don't know, starts with an S.
Mr. Chair, well, she's coming up. I have a question. Maybe I'll have to wait for DMV to answer it, but it used to be when you drove in another country, at least for us, like when I go to Europe, when I started going, I'd take an international driver's license. And now I don't. I just wing it with my Oregon driver's license. But and it's acceptable to most countries I check before I go, wherever I'm going to drive. And is that reciprocal here is what I'm wondering. Is that reciprocal? Does Oregon recognize an international driver's license that would be from another? It's an overlay of it. You get it with another country's license.
I have.
Do you know?
I have no idea. And
I'll wait till they come up, I guess. Or
if you want to come up, you'll have to identify yourself. I'm sorry, Lauren.
Lorna Youngs, Administrator of DMV. Mr. Chair, Representative Boone. I would have to check and get back with you on that because once you establish residency here in Oregon, in terms of you're here, like you're a student or what, we allow you to use other states' driver licenses. So if you're here just on a vacation, we would honor your other country's driver license. If you're here, though, for like you've come over and are studying or staying for a while, then we would expect that you would and probably need to get an Oregon driver license. But I'll check and verify and see exactly what the statute is requirement and get back to you on that, okay?
And so, then follow up. Yeah. So if someone came from another country to work for a year, for example, would they just use that country's driver's license and or the international? I think what you have to, in order to get an international license, you have to have a driver's license to start with from somewhere.
Mr. Chair, Representative Boone, I'll need to get back to you on whether or not we accept the international driver's license and exactly how we handle the situation where someone's here for some period of time. So I'll get a response back to you.
For their own country's license, do you do that?
That for how long we accept that is what I'll get back to you on, is as to when we would expect you to get your driver license for here. Thank you.
Chair.
Further questions? Yes, Rick.
I'm wondering if we could just all get a copy of that. I sense lots of interest up here in whatever the answers to that question are.
Certainly, I will provide that to the committee administrator.
Thank you very much. Okay. What happened to Elizabeth?
Chair Gilman, members of the committee. I'm Elizabeth Van Staveren. I live in McMinnville, Oregon. I support the passage of House Bill 2947. At present, the Oregon system for issuing driver's licenses is much too lax. Driver's licenses today are the primary means of identification, and we must know that a person to whom a license is issued is lawfully resident in this country and is the person who he or she claims to be. HB 2947 is a practical, relatively inexpensive means of assuring the proper identity of the person applying for a driver license. In earlier testimony on March 30, we learned from the head of the Oregon DMV that the DMV had worked with the Mexican consulate in Portland so that the consulate becomes a certifier of the identity of persons receiving the matricula consular from the consulate, and thus the DMV will accept the matricula consulars issued by the Portland consulate. As an average citizen, serious questions arise in my mind about the propriety of a state government agency negotiating with a foreign government to accommodate illegal aliens by issuing Oregon driver's licenses to them. When citizens have urged cooperation by state law enforcement with the immigration authorities, we have been told that immigration is a federal purview and the state does not wish to be involved. In fact, ORS 181.850 expressly forbids cooperation. Yet when there is an issue of giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens, the state DMV has taken the initiative to get involved. In February 2004, the DMV was calling for public comment on proposed changes to their rules for acceptable proof of identity, age, and address required to get an Oregon driver's license. I was one of several members of Oregonians for Immigration Reform who sent comments. All of us received exactly the same reply, which I am attaching to my testimony. The DMV statement said in part, DMV intends to continue accepting the Certificado de Matricula Consular cards as representatives from our agency have worked with representatives from the Mexican consulate to make certain that the cards are issued to the correct person and that the card contains appropriate security features. Not only is the Matricula Consular endorsed by the DMV, but in their February 2004 rulemaking, they removed reference to it and broadened the rule to include acceptance of any consulate ID card if DMV is able to determine that the consulate uses procedures similar to DMV in determining age and identity and that the card issued has security features that help prevent fraud. These actions of the DMV are not at all reassuring to this citizen. The FBI, in testimony before the House Subcommittee on Immigration on June 26, 2003, stated that the matricula consular is not a reliable form of identification and poses major criminal threats and a potential terrorist threat. I doubt the ability of the Oregon DMV to assess correctly the validity of consular ID cards, and I think the agency has exceeded its authority in presuming to negotiate with the Mexican government. Aiding and abetting illegal immigration is a crime. I know that Mexico has a right to issue identification cards to its nationals living in another country, but those countries, including the U.S., have no obligation to accept such identification cards. Any person legally present in the U.S. has U.S.-issued identification. Illegal immigration is a serious problem in this country. 3 million illegal aliens entered in 2004, according to a report in Time magazine, September 30, 2004. John W. Schlegel, a retired agent of the Border Patrol and author of the book Illegal Entries, estimated that in 2004, the number of illegal aliens in this country was 20 to 30 million. Oregon must help protect bona fide citizens by doing everything possible to discourage illegal immigration and to assure that people are who they say they are. In today's ultra-mobile society, HB 2947 is an essential step in restoring orderly legal immigration and confidence in our identification standards. Please vote yes on HB 2947 and support its passage in the legislature. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Any questions? Doesn't look like it.
Thank you, Jim.
Oh, good afternoon, Representative Gilman and members of the committee. My name's Peter Dane. I live in Salem. There are handouts that cover my testimony. For time's sake, let me start now. HB 2947 is time and cost effective. It's a way to guarantee the authenticity of Oregon driver's licenses by checking to see if an applicant's Social Security card is real. When my wife and I first obtained our driver's licenses, in that era it was mandatory to bring in your U.S. birth certificate or a similar document. If any of you have studied history or science, you need primary documents to establish secondary documents. What's happened with the erosion of identification process, you're now using secondary documents to verify or establish primary documents. That's a counter to the history of documentation. You need primary documentation such as birth certificates or even a Social Security card to verify that something like a driver's license is real. Apparently, the Department of Homeland Security does little to check the authenticity of documents used by job applicants to complete an I-9 form. Currently, the standard is if someone's applying for a job, the employer only has to see if the documents look real. There currently are few, if any, Department of Homeland Security representatives in the field. It's Department of Homeland Security is the sole person that's responsible for checking documents when persons apply for employment and fill out an I-9 form. Having a strong driver's license is based on Social Security would not only go a long ways in establishing authenticity, it would also lend a lot of accountability for payroll taxes and wages. There's been an increase in fake IDs in Oregon. If you want to turn to the other page, I have articles from the Statesman Journal. Recently, there's been much talk of NAFTA and joining Canada, U.S., and Mexico as one country. Vincente Fox has said innumerable times that he wants a fully integrated North America by 2020. It's time that Oregon starts establishing authentic driver's licenses so we'll know who is driving along I-5 between Canada and Mexico is driving legally. Even Marion County Sheriff Raul Ramirez has testified that Oregon is awash in bogus IDs. There was recent testimony from the Department of Transportation that, they just found a few bogus driver's licenses. Well, that's contrary to what's going on. Sheriff Ramirez cited one Oregonian with 20 licenses. Oregon ranks seventh in the nation for identity theft. Recently, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission said that there were 1,800 fake IDs that they confiscated last year. Clearly, if Social Security cards were verified and used as a primary source for establishing identification for issuing driver's licenses, it would clear up a lot of vague areas. I urge you to vote yes on HB 2947. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Questions? Ramon Ramirez.
Good afternoon, Chair and Committee. For the record, my name is Ramon Ramirez. I'm president of the Oregon Farm Worker Union, PCUN. And I have testimony. In addition to that, I have an article that was published last week in the Congressional Quarterly, which refers to the Sensenbrenner Bill, what's considered the Real ID Act, where it states that immigration provisions to be excluded from Senate supplemental bill. So there's, contrary to what's been testified by at least two or three people here this afternoon, it doesn't look like they're, at least in the Senate side, that they'll take up the Real ID Act. I confirmed that with the Senate President's office this morning, and they're still pretty strong that they want a clean bill. They don't want to add any immigration provisions. If they do that, it's just going to open the floodgate. Then you'll read in the article that there's a number of senators that will attach their own versions of immigration reform to that bill. So rather than open up a floodgate, the president has made it clear to the Senate that in order to finance the military efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan, they gotta have the funding ASAP. So I wanted to clarify that because it's not a done deal. And prior testimony, at least to me, indicated that it was already a done deal or that it would pass. I'm not going to testify on my testimony. It's pretty clear. I just want to add that over the past 2 weeks, we have brought a number of immigrants to come and testify and haven't been able because there's been a long waiting list. So what we've done is included in my testimony are versions of testimony and translations for the record and for the committee members. So I really appreciate the opportunity to have to do that. I think in regards to what's been said about the Oregon driver's license and ID, I've been working on a task force with Department of Motor Vehicles since December to ensure that there are safeguards in terms of when people apply for an Oregon driver's license or a Oregon ID, that they're the persons they say they are. And I think what we're interested in is not necessarily the immigration status of people, because the reality is that we have a number of undocumented immigrants in our communities all over the state. I would suspect that from in every district of the representatives here represented in your committee, Chair, that there's probably undocumented immigrants providing a very valuable service to that community. No question about that. What we're concerned here is about identity theft. So I think, in my personal opinion, there is enough safeguards, and I know because we've met time and time again with the folks from DMV, and they've shown us, they've shown us their training manuals, they showed us actual IDs of people that they've confiscated. In fact, the last person that testified and in his testimony had an article here that Sheriff Raul Ramirez, who's a good friend of ours, he indicated that there was an individual that had 20 or more licenses. What the last person failed to say was that person wasn't an immigrant or wasn't Latino. That was an Anglo person. So to associate that with what's being debated gives the impression that, that there's all these Latino immigrants around running all over the state with 20 or more IDs, which is completely false. I do want to say that that there is a lot of safeguards. In fact, from the community perspective, we run a farm worker service center. We have over 5,000 members, and we're just union based in Marion and Polk counties. But we're hearing a lot of complaints from our folks saying that when they go up to reapply for a driver's license or ID, they're being asked for proofs of residency now, meaning that they have to present resident of Oregon, right? They have to take like rent receipts or electricity bills, telephone bills with their name and address in that, you know. So the question here really is, are we really talking about identity theft, or are we talking about shaping our immigration laws? Because the two are being meshed together here. And I would say that our immigration laws are so complex that it is nearly impossible. This is not the body, first of all, to take up immigration reform or to fix our immigration laws. That's done in another place. That's done in U.S. Congress. In fact, there's a lot of it takes a lot of expertise to go through or understand the immigration system. And I bet if I ask the question, Mr. Chair of the committee, you know, if anybody knows how many ways it takes for you to get into the country legally, I probably wouldn't get a straight answer because it's so complex. So this is not the place to do that. In fact, I would say that there's been a lot of talk about that people have come into the country legally and broke the laws. That's not necessarily true. And let me just paint this picture. Our last major changes in immigration law happened in 1986, what's called the Immigration Reform and Control Act, IRCA. And that's when we established an amnesty program in which people who were undocumented in the country, if they can prove a certain amount of time that they lived here, can prove that they had no criminal records, they would be allowed to legalize their status. And under IRCA, several million people adjusted their status. Well, there was a provision in that law called SAW, Seasonal Agricultural Worker Program, because Congress understood, and the agriculture industry in our, not only in our state, because they were one of the advocates for the passage of SAW, because they understood that the reality is that we have undocumented immigrants providing a valuable service in putting food on the Oregonians' table. That they created a special program called SAW, which was a legalization amnesty program. In addition to passing that law, what they said to the SAW applicants is that not only are you're going to be able to adjust your status, right, and become a permanent resident in the United States, but you could also bring your family. And so once you became once you applied and you were a temporary worker, then 3 years later you became a permanent resident, you could start applying for your family. Well, in Oregon, we had tens of thousands of people, migrant seasonal farm workers, migrate. They had their families migrate here legally because Congress made a promise to these folks. In 1996, we had a change in the immigration laws again, where it made it difficult for people such as farm workers to immigrate their status. These people are already here, so in essence, we feel that Congress reneged on their promise to legalize the status of these folks. So in Oregon, we have people that were here legally but cannot adjust their status because there's a big backlog or because it's difficult because they raised the bar in terms of how people can qualify into coming into the country. They have to prove that they make 125% more than the poverty guideline levels in order to get a permanent resident visa card. So in essence, what's happened is that, you know, we have all these folks that are hardworking folks who pay taxes, who have their kids going to school here, but they're in legal limbo. So I would say that we do have, these people came in legally, they were promised a permanent residency card, and we have a de facto immigration waiting list. And that's what's happening, not around the country or in New York, and it's happening here in the state of Oregon. I just want to finish by saying that I really think that this is a really complex issue. And that what this committee is trying to do is trying to change immigration law. The reality is if we have migrant workers working in the service industry, in our resorts, up along the coast in Central Oregon, the Willamette Valley, migrant workers are the backbone of the food processing and agricultural nursery communities, right? The fact of the matter is that they're undocumented, you know, most of them, and our immigration laws are broken, and we have to fix them. Senator Kennedy and Senator McCain are currently working, as I understand, with the blessing of our president, President Bush, to come up with a comprehensive immigration reform package, right? Sensenbrenner, the real idea is not gonna happen. This other bill might happen, right? But unless we change our immigration laws, we're gonna have this problem. We think that the issue here is identity theft, and I think we can work to strengthen our the ways. I think the Department of Motor Vehicles have taken a lot of leadership in improving the ways to prevent identity theft. I think in regards to the Mexican consulate, I've been in communication with them, and they welcome a committee of members of your committee chair to come up and do a visit and check out the system that they have in place. They would do the same visit that they did to the Oregon Department of Motor Vehicles, so you could see for yourself a rigorous process that's in place for the issuing of documents. So I think it's so rigorous that I think the Department of Motor Vehicles has approved it and said, yeah, we will approve this because, you know, we feel that there's important safeguards there. So I would say that I think that that this bill, we oppose it strongly. It would definitely affect a lot of our members. And I also think that it will have a tremendous economic effect of our community. So for that reason, we stand opposed to it. Thank you.
Thank you, General Ramon. Questions? Yes, Representative Thatcher.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Ramirez. When it comes, you made a comment about people having to prove their or give evidence of their address, and I think that has a lot to do, and I could be wrong, ODOT could tell me if I'm wrong, has to do with a lot of people coming down from Washington to claim that they live here so they can avoid whatever taxes are involved up there. But as far as that issue mentioned in the paper, you referred to it, the man who had 20 licenses. If this law was in place, I don't think he could have had 20 licenses. And it was not intended to be an immigration or race issue. Certainly was not. And I'm open to discussions of what other options you would propose. But I do believe that we need to not leave the system as it is because it's not working.
Chair and Representative Thatcher, you know, I think there are ways that we could do that. You know, the representatives from DMV last week testified that there is a system in Washington State that's in place that is exactly like Oregon's. They do the verification of Social Security numbers for those who have valid Social Security numbers. But we think that there's just too huge of a population of immigrant workers who are on this de facto immigration waiting list that we just can't put them aside and say, okay, forget you. I think we really got to address that issue. So we have no problems implementing a system like that, like in Washington State, and maybe looking into other ways that we could do that. I wanted to just, it's something that you raised before about Nevada. It's not true that if you go to Nevada, they're not going to accept the Oregon driver's license. If you call the Nevada State Patrol and you get stopped by them, they will issue you a ticket, and the ticket will not be that you have an Oregon driver's license. It would be a moving violation, and if you show Oregon driver's license, they're going to accept it.
Follow up?
Certainly.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you, as a resident of Oregon, took your Oregon driver's license down to their DMV, they would not accept it as ID, and that's on their website.
Chair and Representative Thatcher, I misunderstood your question.
Yes, Representative.
It's my understanding, though, that on this bill, says requires a person to submit social security number or other specified identifying document, and that includes the document that comes from the Mexican consulate in Portland. Is that, am I correct on that?
As I understand it, the only verification document that is available to the Department of Motor Vehicles to verify is what's called a green card, which was referred to an immigration card. That's the only document that they testified last week that they could verify. So in essence, what happens is that it would become a they couldn't verify any other document. So it would be, so then what the bill in effect would be is a de facto, it would be like you have to have legal residency or citizenship to be to drive in the state.
I don't know what the definition of the other specified identifying document is, a passport perhaps, or whatever that, I don't remember the terminology of the document you're talking about from the Mexican consulate. Wasn't that acceptable to DMV?
Let's see what it is. Come on.
Sorry. Have Lorna sit up here.
Thanks, Lorna.
Lorna Youngs, administrator of DMV. The issue that is being raised, Chair Gilman, Representative Boone, is the language of both House Bill 2611, or specifically House Bill 2611, that says that we would have we would require a social security number or some other identifying number or document. But what is prevailing is the further on the in the bill, it states that that would then in turn be verified. So it gets back to what is the intention of the term verification, because in relationship to social security number, verification is not a visual. By this bill, it's verification through an electronic verification system. So if it's the intent of the committee for us to establish some other kinds of documents that we verify, the only other electronic verification system is the one offered by Immigration Services called the SAVE system, which verifies alien registration number and your alien status. Everything else that we do is a visual examination of the document based on the information that we have through a proprietary software called DocuTector that gives us the security features of various kinds of documents. But we are not tapped into a system like you see in customs where they run the passports through. So that's why we testified last week that the prevailing language of verification does limit us to either alien registration number or social security number.
And may I ask one thing, Mr. Ramirez, what if this bill didn't go through, what would you suggest the appropriate route for the state to take for issuing a driver's license to undocumented visitors?
Chair, Representative Boone, we would we favor the current system because we believe that the current system, that there's enough safeguards. We're sure, I mean, we back in December we joined a Latino task force that was created by the Department of Motor Vehicles to improve communications and to address issues like this. And we have certainly been looking at ways of how do we improve the system. And we came away satisfied with the system that's current, the safeguards that are currently in place. For example, if you can't, if you don't have a valid Social Security number, you sign an affidavit that says that you don't have a Social Security number. The other safeguards that are in place, for example, is now DMV is requesting that that you take proof of residency that you are, in fact, a resident of the state of Oregon. How do you do that? Well, you take a rent receipt, you take credit card statements, you take electricity bill, you take a phone bill, you take a gas bill, you take a water bill, and stuff like that. And that's what they're requiring now. So we feel confident that the system that's in place right now is working. Now, the issue of the 20 licenses that were issued, that was years ago. We're talking about a new system now that's in place, where I would say that based on the information that I've been provided by Lorna herself, she took me to her office and she showed me all their system, that I think we have a pretty good system in place for detecting fraud. Now, you know, of course, we're not going to detect. It's not 100%, proof, but it's pretty close to that. It's going to be hard for somebody. I would doubt seriously that somebody can apply for 20 licenses today, April, 6th, 2005. It's going to be nearly impossible.
Further questions? Yes, Representative Hunt. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be interested in Lorna, your take. I mean, you worked through the same process with the Latino Task Force. Did you basically come to the same conclusions that, based on recent changes that you all have implemented or are implementing, that you've done what you can within the current system in terms of identity theft?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hunt, we believe that we have worked to do the best we can with a manual verification system by equipping our staff with tools and training on the recognition of fraudulent documents, by acquiring software that lets us know what the security features are in documents, so that we think our system is a much tighter system than it has been in the past. But can a person fool a system with good forgeries? That is possible.
Further questions?
Thank you. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair Gilman, and distinguished committee members. Look great in those ties. I really like it. I'd like to pass legislation that you wear those every day you're in session. I'm State Representative Donna Nelson, District 24, from the beautiful Willamette Valley. And since I don't know what bill you're on, I'm assuming it's 2947.
We're both at the same time.
So I'll just talk about both of them at the same time.
Perfect.
And that'll work. Chair Gilman and all of you, I thank you for this consideration of these bills today. We do face a crisis here in Oregon and nationwide. It is simply too easy to obtain a driver's license using false identification. As we learned in the aftermath of 9/11, the terrorists who attacked our nation had multiple driver's licenses from multiple states, enabling them to slip through various security systems and onto the airplanes. We must never forget 9/11. We must never forget 9/11, or it will not have taught us one of the most critical, we will not recall the most critical, one of the most critical lessons that we should have learned. That national security is critical, and as most of you have heard me say, and in over the many years, is that safety is our top priority, regardless of what we're doing. Even at, when it's budget time in the state, safety is the top priority. Nothing else matters. Sure, hunger is important. Hunger undermines everything we do. But with us, without us having a safety net and a safety system, the very protection of our citizens and this precious freedom that the 370,000 veterans in this state have fought for will mean nothing. Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, as you all know. And with a false driver's license, a criminal can effectively take over the life of virtually any victim. Writing checks, of course you know all of this, obtaining lines of credit, even collecting, yes, unemployment payments. We need to make it harder for criminals to steal our people's identity. House Bill 2611 and 2947 are about security, national security as well as consumer security. By requiring applicants for driver's license to verify their identity with a valid Social Security number, we create an additional layer of protection. Moreover, we would be following the example set by over 40 other states that have adopted similar legislation. Some states have gone even further. Recent legislation in Nevada makes Oregon's driver's licenses invalid, as we just heard, for identification. Nevada no longer recognizes driver's licenses from states that do not verify identity using Social Security numbers. Furthermore, as you've already heard today, the U.S. House of Representatives has recently passed the Real ID Act. And should that act become federal law, Oregon will be required to institute the very plan proposed in House Bill 2611. We shouldn't let the fear of unfunded federal mandates sour our attitude, though. While there may be opponents of these House bills who would have you believe the cost to implement could be hundreds of millions of dollars, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the state of Idaho implemented this very plan. The cost, less than $3,000, and under 50 man-hours of work. To institute the whole system and verify the Social Security numbers of every driver's license holder in that state. Surely, we can do the same and do so efficiently and effectively to protect the lives of every citizen in our state. In my previous life, as a part of the Evergreen International Aviation family, one of our divisions that I named EAEIO, it was Evergreen Agricultural Enterprises, and it's related to the nursery business. And we hired hundreds of individuals who came into this country on a seasonal basis to assist us in harvest, usually, and in planting. We still have those individuals here. We're proud of them. They've done a great job, and Evergreen Agriculture Enterprises is the cash cow of our corporation. This bill is not about any type of discrimination. I served on the Hispanic Task Force. My mother spoke fluent Spanish. I should. I'm 1/8 Cherokee. What more could I say? And I'm from Texas, and that makes it even worse. But, you know, when I first brought this bill up, one very similar to this in the previous legislature, immediately there was this affront that, you know, my whole purpose was immediately to, you know, get rid of any person in this state without a Social Security number. No, not the case. I wanted to protect them also from the type of people who caused 9/11. Their lives are just as precious as any other. I just think that now is the time, whether we go with House Bill 2947 or 2611, I think it's time for us to do something, and we shouldn't delay. With that delay, risk mounts. And I really don't want to be responsible for unsafe conditions for all of those in our state. I thank you for this opportunity to be here, and I'll certainly take any questions from anybody except Representative Hunt.
I understand that, Representative Nelson. Question. Representative Nelson, I guess there's no questions.
Thank God I picked the right one. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've done it again. We've used our allotted time, and we haven't gotten through the list. I am not going to schedule another hearing until we get amendments to this legislation, and I have to talk to the sponsors of the two bills and see which one we're going to put the amendments in. But we've got a set of amendments that I think will do the job. So I guess what I can say to you is stay tuned. I'll close this hearing on the two bills, 2947 and 2611. Yes, John, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, committee members, if I'm passing out are two documents. The first one, top one, are either written direction or a map on how to get to the facility we're meeting in Bend. The second document has the campus of public buildings in Bend that we're going to be meeting in, and I have circled the specific buildings that we're going to be in at that center. So if I can pass those that way and those that way. We're still scheduled to meet at 2 o'clock at the Deschutes Services Center.
Anything else to come before the committee? Meeting's adjourned.